now the text is starting to talk back to you. It's not just you writing, it's also, it's a collaboration with language.
Hello and welcome to radiofolk.dk. My name is MC Hansen. I'm a Danish musician and songwriter. I've spent 25 years touring as a guitar player for Canadian and American songwriters. These days I write in Danish, but I spent my 20s and 30s writing songs in English. I sat down with Danish producer and songwriter Martin Rauf to talk about writing in two languages, the difference between writing and editing, and how language has a musicality of its own. Martin Rauf is a multi-instrumentalist. He's a songwriter, a poet, a former TV host, just to mention some of the many things he does. Here's my conversation with Martin Rauf, but first let's listen to the song that became the foundation for the many topics we touch on. Here's Martin Rauf and Louise Stoiber's song, Europe.
It was late when I arrived at the ball. She had already had far too much to drink. Her dress trailed behind her like a deadly fishing trawl. Reeking from the dredge through it all. Had I only been there earlier that evening, as her eyes had shown the glow of her champagne, then perhaps I could have talked her into leaving and never to come back to this again. After all, there was a time when she aspired. Though aspiration isn't all it's said to be, perhaps we could have made it through the wire. We didn't know this was all plainly seen. It's a strange and remarkable position to be drunk and old and waddling about in a gown that's up to see and ambition. The manner that's as subtle as a shout. She spotted me and pulled me from the banquet, drunkenly to tell me of the past, painted forth wanting me to thank it. As I was asked, she flashed at me that smile that had once caught me off my guard, but now it looked like death. She took my arm and curtsied courtly. Come dance with me, she said below her breath. It's a strange and a remarkable position to be drunk and old and waddling about in a gown that's up to see an ambition with a manner that's as subtle as a shout. It's a strange and a remarkable position to be drunk and old and waddling about in a gown that's up to see with a manner that's as subtle as a shout.
Beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
Nice melody.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you about the differences and the similarities between singing and speaking in English and Danish. Mm-hmm. So you're bilingual, at least, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, native Danish speaker, and then I've spoken a lot of English in my life, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So this song is called Europe in mm-hmm. Danish, or Europa, mm-hmm. but the English title is Statue in the Harbor.
That's where it started.
Uh-huh.
And that's this song started out in English. That's why I thought it might be fun to talk about this, because it's a song written in English, but on the album it's a song in Danish.
Could you sum up what the song is about or what it talks about?
It paints a picture of someone who arrives late at a party to find a lady there that he or she has been familiar with for a while, an old lady who somehow has become extremely drunk and kind of just stumbles about demanding the attentions of others, you know, willy-nilly. And that's what the song is about. And how that pertains to Europe is, of course, a matter of interpretation.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like just any party, though, to me. It sounds like a... So the first line of the English version is, it was later when I arrived at the ball.
Yeah.
So it's, is it a ball more than a party?
It is in the English version. In the Danish version, it's just the literal translation, the Danish line, the line, it was late when I arrived at the ball, becomes... Det var sent, da jeg kom frem, det er det tit, which means it was late when I got there, and it often is.
Right, okay.
So the Danish one doesn't actually paint that picture explicitly, but I would like to think that it paints it sort of implicitly, that if you hadn't read this English original version of the song that we wrote, that you'd still get the same vibe from the Danish, at least I hope, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about that later.
Yeah, explain to me talk to me about the process of translating this from English to Danish. Describe to me the process of translating it from English to Danish, and maybe why would you want to do that?
Yeah, well, maybe I should start out by saying that this song, this music that we just heard, it's music that I make with my wife, Louise Stoiber. So the process of getting to the final product is very much reliant on the process between her and I, including the translation. Originally, when this album was when it came about, we've been playing songs in English for many years.
Yeah.
And a recurring thing, we also both play songs in other settings in Danish. And people who hear those songs sometimes come to our duo concerts and say, why are you singing in English? We like it when you sing in Danish. And our project arose from a bunch of songs in English that we had written that just kind of were lying around and doing nothing.
Okay.
So we thought, let's record some of them, and we did that, and that was our debut album. Then we played a bunch of concerts since then, and had this recurring comment that, why not in Danish? And the answer has always been, this project is for our English songs, we have other projects where we sing in Danish. But after a while, it also just became kind of it started to feel like it was sort of a matter of principle, and that's always something you should question when you start arguing principles.
Totally.
So Louise and I looked at each other and said, yeah, actually, maybe why?
Why did you sing in English to begin with?
Well, that's because we had a bunch of songs lying around doing nothing in English, and we thought, let's track them and see what happens.
Oh, okay.
So that was really, it wasn't as calculated, but a lot of the Danish stuff that we've written separately and together have other places, like Louise plays a lot of it in Zenobia. I've played with my own band as well. But we had these English songs that weren't really doing anything, so we wanted to do that. So long way of saying that we kind of arrived at the idea that we wanted to do a double album, and the working title of it was 555, five songs in Danish, five songs in English, and five songs that would be in both English and Danish. So 20 songs in all, with five that were essentially translations.
20 songs in all?
20 songs, yeah. So 10 in Danish and 10 in English, but five of them would be repeats.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so the math already... Yeah. You see why we abandoned this project? No one got it. But that was how it started. And that's why some of these songs had two versions. Some of them started in Danish and got turned to English, and some of them started in English and got turned to Danish, and none of them are repeats. And the actual album is called Mellemrum, the Danish side of it, and the other side is called Love Some More.
And what does Mellemrum mean for those who don't speak Danish?
The space in between. It's kind of a weird word that it kind of means gap in English.
Mind the gap.
Exactly. Right. But we use it slightly differently, metaphorically. It's, I think in Danish, you could argue that it has a sort of an air of potential, that there's something in there, in between the things that are, there are these rooms for potential.
Between the lines.
And I guess you could say the same with the gap, but it's just when it's mind the gap, it's more like don't fall down here.
But
how it happened.
But would you say that English songs and the English language has taken up as much space in your head throughout your life as Danish? Have you spoken as much English or listened to as much English music as you have Danish?
In terms of music, yes, absolutely. But in terms of hours spent talking, absolutely not.
Right.
And in terms of other media consumption, I'm old enough to not have had as much English as, and I had a lot of German. I'm from Jylland, the Jutland part of Denmark, and we used to have, when it was TV was terrestrial and got beamed, we could watch German TV, so there was a lot of German as well,
and you could probably speak it, I would think.
Absolutely, because of that. But in terms of music, yes, I've listened to a lot of English language music growing up. My dad liked Johnny Cash, so I listened to a lot of Johnny Cash.
I was wondering, would you sing maybe just the choruses, or maybe read out the words to this chorus, just to to give the people listening an idea of what the English version is about, or what it sounds like.
Yeah. So the English. Should I just read the whole thing, or maybe
why not? Why not?
Okay. So it was late when I arrived at the ball. She had already had far too much to drink. Her dress trained behind her like a deadly fishing trawl, reeking from the dredge through it all. Had I only been there earlier that evening, as her eyes outshone the glow of her champagne, then perhaps I could have talked her into leaving and never to come back to this again. After all, there was a time when she aspired. Though aspiration isn't all it's set to be, perhaps we could have made it through the wire. We didn't, though, as all can plainly see. It's a strange and a remarkable position, to be drunk and old and waddling about in a gown that's of Josephian ambition with a manner that's as subtle as a shout. She spotted me and pulled me from the banquet, drunkenly to tell me of her past, painted forth, wanting me to thank it, and I chose to do as I was asked. She flashed me that smile that had once caught me, off my guard, but now it looked like death. Then she took my arm and curtsied courtly. Come dance with me, she said below her breath.
Det var sent, da jeg kom frem, det er det tit. Hun var allerede blevet meget fuld. Kjolen slæb hen over gulvet, som et trollemareridt. Stinkende og sølet ind i skidt. Var jeg bare kommet tidligere den aften, da hendes øjne endnu overstrålede alt. Kunne jeg måske have fået hende til at tage med mig? Kunne jeg måske have set en udvej, hun havde valgt? Der var trods alt en gang, hun havde mål. Selvom målet ikke får ting til at ske, men måske kunne vi være kravlet over fronten. Det gjorde vi ikke, det kan være selvstændigt. En sær og en mærkværdig måde at feste, fuld og gammel, blottet for alt mål. I en kjole, der har Josefs ambitioner, med manerer, der er så pæne som et råd. Trak mig straks væk fra buffeten.
Snøvlende for at fortælle om sit liv, for at få mig til at være taknemmelig. Og jeg blev den, hun ville have, jeg skulle blive. Hun sendte mig det smil, der engang slog mig helt omkuld, men nu så jeg kun dø. Hun tog min arm og nejede så høfligt. Dans med mig, sagde hun næsten uden lyd. Det er en sær og en mærkværdig måde at feste, fuld og gammel, blottet for alt hår. I en kjole, der har Josefs ambitioner, med manerer, der er så pæne som et råb. Det er en sær og en mærkværdig måde at feste, fuld og gammel, blottet for alt hår. I en kjole, der har Josefs ambitioner, med manerer, der er så pæne som et råb.
So now, obviously, I understood the Danish version. Mm-hmm. This one has a more old-fashioned sound to it, in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like it's very fitting that you put in a word like Josephian, which is something you probably wouldn't use, you know, every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this puts me, at a ball a couple of hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Whereas the Danish version, that could have happened last night. In the way I experience it.
Cool.
Could you talk to me about the differences between these two in like the way you feel them? Do you feel the same when you speak these English words as you do when you sing the Danish words?
I kind of do.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because of having worked with it. I feel that it has a similar vibe, the Danish version. Even though it's slightly different and it doesn't mention the ball explicitly, it does still in the chorus have the gown of Josephian ambition, this idea of all the colors and everything being, you know, fathomed within her. I don't know, embrace, I guess, would be a word.
But what you're saying now totally speaks to the same experience I've had with translating something from English into Danish, because you know what you felt or you know what you thought about when you wrote the English words. So translating it is really not that difficult because you feel the same.
Yeah.
But sometimes it feels like details can be left out because you already know what you want to say, so you don't have to spell it out as much as you did in the first place. Is that your experience too?
Absolutely. This was the whole premise for the 555 album concept.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That didn't happen.
Right.
Because why would you ever want to record the same song with different lyrics in two languages, if not to specifically point to people who by accident speak both languages, one of which is a stupid minority language that no one speaks outside of our wonderful little country. Sorry, I called it a stupid minority language. It's a wonderful language. But it was to point at that fact that these overtones in these texts change.
Yeah.
If you understand both, it's not a translation literally, it's a reworking, and stuff does, as one says, get lost in translation.
Totally.
So that was kind of the premise or the merit in even thinking about doing that project. And as we work through it, this has been a long time in the making, so this is years ago, but when we started working with it, it just became more and more contrived and sort of not about the songs, but about that point.
Huh.
And I think that point might be better served with this conversation than with that album. So the album became something else. But it is, in terms of what we're talking about, exactly this thing about these overtones being slightly different and you as a songwriter dealing with whether you go towards the same overtones or you play on the fact that there is a variation. I think that's interesting writing space.
Have you performed these two different versions in front of an audience, both with English lyrics or Danish lyrics? Or do you have songs that exist in both languages and you've performed them in front of an audience, both of them?
Yes, we do. Not with this one, but with other songs we have, but we don't generally do that. In general, we play one version.
So what's the difference? I mean, in the way that the audience experiences it.
For this, I think Louise and I ended up going with the Danish version of this song because we thought it was better.
No, but I mean, how do they experience it differently? That the audience, do you notice if they react to it differently, whether you sing it in English or Danish?
Yes, I think in general, when we sing in Danish to a Danish audience,
yeah,
they have much more recognition and much more emotional resonance with what gets said. Whereas if we play songs in Danish to an English-speaking audience, it feels more like we are strange, exotic birds.
Right.
And it doesn't really matter what it's about.
And you're not as exotic singing in English to a Danish audience because they do understand most
of it. They do understand. They do understand. Maybe less so than in Danish. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has slightly less resonance, but they do understand.
So why sing in English in the first place? I mean, your songs are epic songwriting. They're not doo-wop pop songs. So why would you do that in the first place? And I think I know the answer, but I still want to ask you the question.
Well, I mean, there are multiple answers to that, I think, but one answer certainly is that music, or rather the other way around, language has its own music.
Yeah.
So certain things present themselves better, mm-hmm, in English and or German for that matter,
right,
or in Danish. And I'm sure had I been able to speak other languages, it would be the same for that. So that's a big part of it, is that language has its own melody.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the answer to why is this podcast in English when we could be doing this in Danish is also just a matter of who can relate to it. As I
totally
said, our wonderful language has a very small audience, and English has a larger audience, so that's worth considering as well when you write.
And there's something exotic about speaking English. Even when we have a conversation in Danish, there are so many English words that we throw in.
Sure.
To make it sound cool, and some people are against that. I think it makes it interesting and exciting.
Yeah.
I guess it's the fascination with, well, probably England and Ireland and Scotland, but more so probably America, I would think, like with, you know, the music. This sounds more Scandinavian than, or at least European than some of the other music that I know that you love, because mm-hmm, a lot of that music is heavily inspired by, you know, your love for American music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Huh.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit more about the overtones of the two different languages.
Well, I mean, I'll talk maybe specifically to these texts, because I think the overtones of the languages as a whole is part of why even, like, why do you write? You write to explore these and find these. Like, I don't know what that is, but
what could they be? I'm not sure I understand the concept of the overtones of the languages.
So the difference between "it was late when I arrived at the ball, she had already had far too much to drink," and "it was late when I got there, it often is, and she was already quite drunk."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same, but it's definitely not the same.
Right.
The explicit difference is easy to point at. These are different words, different sentences.
Sure.
But the intention and the tone and the sort of the atmosphere of those two sentences, and I'm the latter sentence obviously being the literal translation of the Danish version of
right
the song, the difference there is what I'm, when I say overtones, that's what I refer to. It's like this black box,
gotcha,
of crap that's just different.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you exactly what it is, but it's, that's what you tinker with, or that's what I like to at least,
uh-huh,
try to think about or be attentive to when you do these reworkings of songs in other languages.
So the Danish version, and I'll try to translate this directly, the Danish version leaves a little bit more up to not necessarily interpretation, but it makes you think further than what it actually says. So the English version is, "it was late when I arrived at the ball, she'd already had far too much to drink." Okay, I gotcha. So the direct translation of the Danish version would be, it was late when I arrived. It often is. She had already had too much to drink. But the it often is really the genius of these two versions, I find. Makes it even better, I think, because it puts you in there.
It does.
I love that.
And I think little things like that is also part of why Louise and I ended up going with the Danish version, because it's already, it has this thing where it has, the text has its statement, and then the title, Europa, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily explicitly, it only implicitly relates to the text. So we're already placing this, like there's some sort of meta thing going on here.
Right.
So rather than having a text that very much plays to that meta thing, like you just said to you when you read this English text, which you haven't read before,
right.
We sat down
just
to do
it
this.
Now, yeah.
It's set 200 years ago somehow. It has this sort of weirdness.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
And I think that was fine. I think that's what I dreamt would happen when I wrote it in English,
uh-huh.
but as we sang it and worked with it, it just became less important.
Right.
I think that tension is there just because of what it's called. And now it's more of, it's something else. If you don't want to relate to what it's called, it's a different story in the Danish version. It's very similar, the same sort of things. If you look at what actually happens in the song, that's the same, but it has those little things like, it was late when I got there. It often is. It's not that often is not in the English. It's just in the Danish.
Yeah.
And it does say something about me being late all the time.
Do you feel like you come up with like really great lines like that one more often when you write in Danish than you do in English? Do you have a bigger arsenal of expressions, so to speak? Or do you feel like you're closer to the lyrics emotionally when you sing Danish as opposed to when you sing in English?
No, I don't think. To me, when I actually concretely write, it's not a very aware process. It's not very conscious. It's very much just writing. And I think something else comes out in Danish than in English, but it's not under control until afterwards. Then you edit it. That's the control part. But for me, writing is writing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so the feelings are the same, or the experiences are the same.
Yeah, but little things show up, as you pointed to with I'm often late sentence and like another thing, like in the English version, the lady at the party that the narrator goes to, she pulls that person from the banquet. In
right.
the Danish one, the person is pulled away from the buffet.
Right.
Now, there's a big difference between a banquet and a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously, it's not because we don't have the word banquet in Danish. That's a choice that it's a buffet in the Danish version. Again, to try and take it away from this sort of classicist imagery.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that's not necessarily something that happens consciously as I write. It's something that either gets edited in later or happens unconsciously as I write.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have a... Well, no, let me phrase this differently. I suspect you might have more great expressions in your first language, Danish, than in English. Is that true or not?
I think that's probably true.
Okay.
I guess the reason I'm hesitant to say yes, that's true is, honestly, I don't think I can evaluate any language that I speak, my own level at it. It's not an aware thing. I don't know how I speak Danish. I don't even know how I speak English. So to me, it's you're probably right. I can see that I definitely, it's different. That's for sure. And I also know, like, this is a whole different conversation, but where did this urge to write lyrics come from?
Right.
And for me, that comes from Danish. It comes okay. from my grandmother picking me up when I was very, very young and putting me on her knees and showing me, we have in Denmark the folk high school songbook,
right.
And explaining to me how, what these words are and where they come from, that someone wrote them and that they mean more than what they say.
And maybe we should explain to the listeners that the folk high school songbook is a Well, it's a treasured songbook that everybody here knows, I would say, right? Everybody in this country knows this songbook. Yeah. So having a song of yours in that songbook is like a, what would that be like? It's almost like being knighted, at least among songwriters, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think, I mean, yeah.
Looking at the English version again, there's much more imagery in there than in the Danish version.
Really?
I feel like, I mean,
yeah, sure.
Maybe just because of the fact that you use a word like banquet or banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one? The Josephian. I mean, you have Josephian ambition becomes Joseph's ambition.
Yeah.
Or ambitions in the Danish version.
Yeah.
Just using a word like Josephian, I think that was one of the things that made me feel like it sounded more old-fashioned.
Yes.
It did not sound like 2025. It sounded like 1825.
Yes. Yes.
Like, or classical, like you said.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. No, I think you're right. And as I said, some of that is just not conscious, and some of it is like with a Josephian word that is. I have had a Danish version of this that had that word in Danish, mm-hmm. but we don't use that in Danish.
Right.
And I think that's actually one of the strange things is that I notice more and more, like you said before, people often throw in English words in their Danish language, which I think happens a lot, and that is what is. But there are these transliterations that now also start to occur. That you have English phrases, like you have an English phrase, and it gets translated to Danish and becomes. It sounds like Danish, but it's really it's really still English. It's an English phrase.
Yeah, you just add a Danish ending to it, kind of
something like that. And I felt like the word. Josephian is just very, very clunky and odd.
Yeah.
And not, it doesn't do that classicist thing in Danish.
And it just doesn't sound as good.
No.
Josephiansk.
It sounds unwieldy.
Yeah. Just to make this obvious to the listeners, Josephian. Becomes Joseph's ambitioner.
Yeah.
So just listen to that again. Josephiansk as opposed to Joseph's ambitioner. I don't know if this is clear to you guys who don't speak Danish, but to me anyway, it sounds more musical to say Joseph's ambitioner than Josephiansk.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me.
No, it's not. I felt the same way. That's why it ended up this way. So I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
I even considered taking it out entirely, but I like the biblical reference and the imagery that surrounds the coat of many colors and that. Yeah. So I kept it in. Yeah.
Have you ever? Because this is something that my Canadian friend points out to me, that I come up with phrases. That don't exist in English, but when I say them, he's like, "Oh yeah, I know what that means. We don't have that saying." But the goat went to the beach, or something weird that we might say.
Yeah,
I don't know. Nobody says the goat went to the beach, but you know what I mean.
I wish they did.
Have you ever done that? Where you had an expression, either you translated the Danish the Danish version directly into English, or have you made up your own? Like a saying or own description of a Danish saying and directly into English. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, but no, I don't think. I think it becomes odd. Like it happens. I think I have friends who speak French, and I don't speak French, but it seems like they have a lot of that type of idioms in the language where they have these little turns of phrases that they use,
right.
and they often translate stuff, and some of it is just really funny. But because when I moved to England many, many years ago when I was young to study, I lived with a French drummer, a good friend, and he did this a lot, and it just, I think because it happened at an early age for me, it just felt silly. It was,
right.
To me, it was, but like in Danish, for instance, we say man kan få røven på komedie,
right?
Like, which basically means you are exposing yourself to criticism or becoming, you know, a target of something. But you wouldn't say the literal translation would be to put your ass into comedy,
right?
And it doesn't make any sense,
right?
But my drummer friend Frank would every once in a while say things like that. Uh-huh. And I think that kind of gave me some sort of vaccination against that. But I totally know what you're talking about. Like, I see it happen, but
I think that's exactly what he's pointing to, my friend from Canada.
Yeah.
Put your ass into comedy. What the hell does that mean?
Why are you saying this?
Yeah, I have a phrase, and I think this is more of a philosophical discussion, where I say, may the sins of your father show you the way, like the waves show the water around inside the bay. Mm-hmm. I thought that made sense. He's like, that doesn't make sense to me. The waves, they show the water around inside the bay, but the waves are the water. The waters are the waves. But he was pointing towards that. Mm-hmm. He was making that point,
a
literal translation.
But how would you translate that? How would you translate the waves show the water around the bay in Danish?
So this is the exact same situation. This song of mine exists both in English and Danish.
Mm-hmm.
So how did I translate that? May the sins of your father show you the way, like the waves show the water around inside the bay. Gid de fejl, jeg har gjort af, må lyse for dig, som et fyrtårn på havet, der viser dig vej. So I picked a different image. It became...
Totally different metaphor.
Yeah, different metaphor.
Yeah.
So it became the lighthouse that is your guiding light, basically. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's another, trick or way of translating.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you do you feel the same way when you write in Danish and English? And obviously the answer is yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just describing the same thing in a different way.
In a different language. And it comes out differently, and trying to figure those differences out is part of why it's fun.
So it doesn't matter if the person is a carpenter in the English version and becomes a fisherman, if it serves the purpose, if he becomes a fisherman in the Danish version. The point is, we're trying to elaborate on or describe a situation or a feeling. It doesn't matter if he's a fisherman in one version and a carpenter in the other one.
Well, not on principle. But does it matter if your imaginary person here is a carpenter in one version and a software engineer in another?
Right.
I would say no. Just say no. Okay. Yeah. But I would argue that some of these changes start to become a different song,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. But then
this is interesting.
Yeah, I agree. This is very interesting. Like, when does it become a different song?
Mm-hmm. I guess it becomes a different song when somebody hears it and interprets it themselves.
Yes, but by that standard, any song is a different song.
Huh.
Like, that, no song is ever the same to you as it is to me.
So my point is, my point is always, well, I'm trying to describe that and how I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. I love her the same way in English as I do in Danish. So I'm just describing it in two different ways. That's why it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
Your point is, well, it becomes slightly different because you use different words. You love her in different ways, kind of.
You tell me different things, at least. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Like, and little things like the difference between it in my Europe song being late when I got there, and it often is, and just being late when I got there,
mm-hmm.
is two different things. So thematically, there are similar things at play in this song. There's a tension between what it's called and what it's about that you can explore if you want to. So there are certain things that definitely are the same. And these are also like the overtones I'm trying to think about. But then the concrete is slightly different. And I hope not too different, because if it becomes too different, it becomes unrecognizable. And I have to be the only standard setter for that, obviously,
sure,
because, you know, to me, it's the same song. And I, as I just said, no song is ever the same song to anyone else anyway. So for me, it's sometimes you also sit there writing in Danish and or in English, and then you realize that things are shifting now. It's becoming a different song, even without translating. Like, you could be working on a verse for a song, and then two new lines appear, or you have them in your notebook and you want to put them in there, and it's something else now. It's not the same song anymore.
Right.
And that's a great moment, because now the text is starting to talk back to you. It's not just you writing. It's also a collaboration with language. And I think that's also part of why this playing around with multiple languages is fun and interesting. If you know, like you and I are lucky enough to speak more than one language.
A collaboration with language. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So would you say that so Bob Dylan plays his songs differently every night? So when he plays a Girl from the North Country,
mm-hmm.
very differently on a Tuesday, and then on the following Friday he does it differently. Is it the same song?
I mean, I'm sure it is for Bob Dylan.
Right.
I would assume it is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's speculating on the shadow of an enigma of a riddle. I don't know, but
right.
but he's. I would assume it would be the same song, but interpreted through whatever the reality of that moment is.
Right.
I mean, I went. You mentioned Dylan. I went to see him, not personally, but a concert. And after the concert, I was walking out of the auditorium, and there was a couple in front of me. They were very upset because they couldn't recognize these songs. This mm-hmm. is decades ago. And one of them was saying to the other that you shouldn't be, doing this. Like you don't. Destroy these masterpieces. You don't go and draw on Mona Lisa either. And this other guy who didn't know them was walking next to me, just kind of leans forward and goes, "Well, I mean, you do if you're Da Vinci."
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that whole conversation is just so interesting. Wanting to hear the same thing the same way, experiencing it the same way twice is impossible in the first place. If you're moved by a song, let's say you sing a song to me and I start crying because it's so beautiful, and I say to you, "Do it again," and I don't cry the second time, and I blame you for the fact that I didn't cry the second time.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Sorry, man.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been a long conversation already.
Yeah.
Let's see if there are things.
I think I'm going to give you a demo of the English version
yes,
as well.
Let's play
it might
that
be
too.
Fun to listen to at least parts of it, just to hear
totally.
How it sounds in music. That's an unmixed, unreleased version, but it'll still get the.
Yeah, maybe message. We should even. Well, we can always edit this, but we might have to start with the English version. We'll
sure,
see about
you'll
that.
You'll see. You'll
yeah.
figure that out.
We'll do that and we'll fix that in the mix.
Exactly.
Okay, so just to give a little bit more background before we wrap it up here, you write songs, but you also write prose, right?
I do. Yeah.
In both languages.
Yeah, I do. I do write in both languages. Yeah.
But not poetry. That's more factual stuff, isn't it? Or am I wrong?
That's factual stuff, fiction stuff. I've written some poetry as well,
okay,
and I translated mm-hmm. some poetry to English as well at one point. But this is not a lot of it. It's just little things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like there's a the importance of the language becomes apparent when you're aiming to be poetic. Whereas if you're when you're more factual, it's I find in some ways easier. You just try to describe it as precisely as you can. Whereas mm-hmm. as soon as you try to be poetic, the differences between the languages.
Oh, but MC, what is poetry? This is. I get what you're saying, but like, if you think about, Lucinda Williams, mm-hmm. the way she uses mm-hmm. prose.
You're right.
Poetically,
yeah.
Her father, Miller Williams. Mm-hmm. Wonderful poet, did the same thing, in my opinion, using quite prosaic language in an amazingly poetic way. I think it depends entirely on how you write, and it's the same when people say that in Denmark there's a lot of people who are under the assumption that German is not a very expressive or poetic language.
Well, they haven't read enough then.
Exactly. There's like amazing, amazing German poetry.
Yeah.
Old and new. And so to me, the language, it has these overtones and they're really hard to lock down and figure out where they go and what they do, but they're there, and trying to hear them and see them and working with language. It's just, it's a privilege to be able to at least attempt it in more than one language. I think having this comparative discussion is in itself kind of a weird situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In English, two Danish people.
Exactly.
And it's very meta.
It's, yes, in a strange, strange way. Yeah.
Well, on that note, let's hear the English version, Statue in the Harbor or The Midnight Ball.
Yeah.
It was late when I arrived at the ball. She had already had far too much to drink. Her dress trailed behind her like a deadly fishing trawl. Reeking from the dredge through it all. Had I only been there earlier that evening, as her eyes had shown the glow of her champagne, then perhaps I could have talked her into leaving and never to come back to this again. After all, there was a time when she aspired. Though aspiration isn't all it's said to be, perhaps we could have made it through the wire. We didn't know this was all plainly seen. It's a strange and remarkable position to be drunk and on a waddling about in a gown that's up to see and ambition. With a manner that's as subtle as a shout. She spotted me and pulled me from the banquet, drunkenly to tell me of her past, painted forth wanting me to think it. Chose to do as I was asked. She flashed at me that smile that had once caught me off my guard, but now it looked like death. She took my arm and curtsied courtly. Come dance with me, she said below her breath. It's a strange and a remarkable position to be drunk and old and waddling about in a gown that's up to see and ambition, with a manner that's as subtle as a shout. It's a strange and a remarkable position to be drunk and old and waddling about in a gown that's up to see and ambition, with a manner that's as subtle as a shout.
This is Radio Folk on www.radiofolk.dk. I'm Rod Sinclair from Scotland and Ribe. Tell your friends about Radio Folk, where they can listen to Danish folk and roots music on www.radiofolk.dk.